الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. You alone we worship, you alone we ask for help. So what help do we ask for? What help do we ask for? Huh? What do we ask for now? We praise God. What do we ask for now? إهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. ثم then Allah said, when we open the Quran, we start reading. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Again, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. What is بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم? With the name of Allah. Why? Without Allah, we can do nothing. Re-emphasizing that without Allah, Allah is re-emphasizing to us. Without Him, we can do nothing. Where do we find it in the Bible? Which is supposed to be from God. Where do we find this training of the heart to come to know God from the beginning? We don't find it. We don't find it. But we find it in the Quran. Why? Because the Quran is not a book written by a man for men. Rather, the Quran is a book sent by God as what? As guidance. And what does the Quran say? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. So now God, we ask God for what? Guidance. And what did He answer us? ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي ذَلِكَ. Why didn't Allah say هَذَا كِتَاب? Ah, Muslim. Now she wants proof why this book is, what is the proof from God? See, when God or Allah speaks, He doesn't speak the way men speak. He speaks the way He speaks. With full knowledge and wisdom and insight. Yes? So Allah said, ذَلِكَلْ. Not هَذَا كِتَاب. Why? Because ذَلِكَلْ is back. Far. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. Which book is this? Which book is this? اللَّهُ الْمَحْفُوظِ. Where the Quran has been taken from. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book and it is guidance for shout without doubt for those who fear evil. So what is the purpose of the Quran? Guidance. Where do we go and find that? The beginning. Okay, what's the purpose of the Bible? What is the purpose of the Bible? No. Let the Christians speak for themselves. Huh? It's what? Where does it begin to teach you about God? How many pages do you have to turn in the Bible to start talking with learning about God? MashaAllah. MashaAllah. No. But we're talking about the book that comes from God. What is the purpose of that book you call the Bible? Or those books you call the Bible? What is the purpose of them? What are they written for? Huh? What's the purpose of the Bible? Okay, so where does the Bible begin to teach you about God? How many pages? Hold on, please. Come on, man. Somebody's got the Bible up there, right? If you haven't got it, just turn the pages. And when he starts speaking about God, teaching you about God, then read for me that from that page. Oh, Bible is Revelation. No, listen. I'm talking about where does the Bible begin to teach you about God the way the Quran begins at the very beginning. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Which God? Which God? Which one God? Pardon? The God who created paradise on earth. No. In the Bible, paradise is on earth. The Garden of Eden is on earth. Guarded by two flaming swords. Yes? In the Bible, paradise, the Garden of Eden is on earth, protected by two flaming swords, blazing swords. In the Garden of Paradise, there's a tree that if we eat from this tree, we shall become gods completely. The tree is called the Tree of Life. We have eaten from one tree already and we have become like gods, as the Bible says. That we will become like God. And who told us that? Who told us that? The devil. The devil told us that. So here we have in the book of God, what do we find? God created night and day. And how do we get night and day? By the sun. So when did God create the night and day? When did he create the sun? Huh? Did he create the sun before night and day? Or did he create the sun, the night and day before he created the sun? According to the Bible. According to the Bible, he created night and day first. And 2 days later, he created the reason, the cause for night and day. The sun. Is that correct? Scientifically correct? Logically correct? No, it's not. It's totally incorrect. Because we have night and day by what? The rotation of the sun and the moon. Incorrect. In the Bible again we find that God is economical with the truth. In the same book of Genesis, God says to Adam, Adam, if you eat from that tree, you shall die. The very day you eat from that tree, you shall die. The Christians now turn it around and say, it means spiritual death. Doesn't that mean no spiritual death? It says, you shall die that day. And the devil came and said, what did the devil say? The devil says, no, you won't die, Adam, for God knows the day you eat from that tree, you shall become like God, knowing good and evil. So when Adam ate from the tree, what happened? God said, according to the Bible, lo and behold, man has become like us, just like the devil said. So God was economical with the truth. Huh? That's what the Bible says, God was economical with the truth. And God became afraid of man. And because he was afraid that all men were speaking the same language, and nothing was impossible for men to do, what did he do? He confused their language. That's what the Bible tells you. How is that praise of God? Again you go on and say you're Christian, as a praise of God, God became a man. To be dragged through the streets of Jerusalem, spat on, kicked, and they say this is showing the glory of God? What are you talking about, glory of God? What are you talking about, glory of God? Imagine God going to toilets. Can you imagine God going to the toilet? That's glory, is it? That's glory. Would you feel good that you were in the toilet and your son opened the door, your little baby son opened the door and saw you on the toilet? Would you feel honored? Oh, my son see me on the toilet. Oh. Huh? You feel humiliated. You as a human being would feel humiliated if another human being caught you sitting on the toilet. So how God is not going to be humiliated doing something like that? Imagine God having diarrhea. Imagine God had diarrhea. Imagine God being tired. And you needed God. And you raised your hand and said, God help me, God help me. And God said, not today, I'm tired, man. Huh? Because what the Bible says, God made the heaven and earth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he was rested and he was refreshed. He rested because he was tired. Huh? So how are you going to accept that as a glory of God, as a praise of God? Huh? What does the Quran say? The Quran said that when Allah created the heaven and the earth, in 6 days, and he felt no fatigue in doing so. For when he wanted to create something, all he said to it, be, and it was. How could God become overcome by tiredness? Huh? Here we have Jesus, saying, oh my God. So who is Jesus talking to? If Jesus is God, who is he talking to? Who is he calling to? Who is he asking for help? Who is he pleading for help? You say, all power is in Jesus. So why is Jesus calling to somebody else to help him out? He's in a fix now. And he's calling somebody else. Imagine God in the fix and God is calling somebody else for help. God need help of somebody else? How can you honestly sit there and say to me, disrespecting God is praising God? How? By saying God is a man, is a disrespect to God. And a disrespect to that man. Isn't an ignorant fool would want to be acquainted with God? Those egoistic people, they want to be treated like gods. Like the Pope and Dalai Lama and all those kind of people. They want the common people to hold them up as gods. But the man who is guided by God, who knows God truly, knows the power and glory of God, and knows that God has the ability to cut his life off like that, and throw him into hell forever. The one who has knowledge of God is not going to come to that low level to try to raise himself up before the people. And Jesus never did that. Jesus never said to anyone, worship me, I'm God. Rather, Jesus commanded the people to what? Worship the Lord thy God who is one. He said, hear, O children of Israel, my God and your God is one. Yes? He also said, soon I will go. I'm going to my God and your God. My Father and your Father. Yes? So how is it now, you've been intelligent, you're going to throw away unambiguous statement from Jesus, which contains the Bible, and take ambiguous statement? Huh? How are you going to do that? Does God make unambiguous statements? Does God do that? Does God cause confusion? Or does God speak clear and precise? And as a message of God, do they speak clear and precise? Of course they do. God is sending guidance to us. Why is he going to cause confusion to us? Why? Why would he cause confusion? Where even the Jews are there? Ask the Jews. Is there anywhere in your history anything about Holy Ghost? The Jews don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was following the religion the Jews claimed to be following. Where does Moses talk about the Holy Ghost? Huh? How could Mary come and say, the Holy Ghost made me pregnant? Mary doesn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. She's following the religion of Moses. Moses doesn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. You Christians have to twist the book and massage the book to find the Holy Ghost in there. Oh, God said, let us make man. That shows us free. No, it doesn't show that. It doesn't show that. Here's your conclusive proof that your book has been twisted. And if you want to know proof it's twisted, take your Bible. Go to the library in Cambridge here. And see how many Bibles you whip out. Huh? All of them different. All of updated versions. Who updated them? The church. In back home and in this country, I used to read. I would read. I would listen to the preacher. I would go to church and I would... What the church hated most than anything else is questions being asked. And that is why many people became atheists and socialists and communists because of the experience with the church of following that tradition. The heart needs to be filled. And it has to be filled with knowledge to bring the light. If you teach the child will understand. As a child, I was beaten mercilessly to accept Christianity. Why? Because it was against my nature as a child. I didn't know anything about Islam, but something he was saying to us. Why are you saying God is almighty? God is almighty. God is almighty. So how could God be a man? How could God be a man? How could God become a man?
There's a question. I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the Trinity. How does Islam perceive Jesus?
In the Quran, we find many references made of Jesus, alayhi salam, Isa, alayhi salam. We know him to be a messenger of Allah, sent to mankind, one who was blessed and his mother was blessed. As the Messenger of Allah said, five women, of all the women, past and present and future, only from all these women, from the daughters of Adam, have reached the level of perfection. While many men have achieved it, only five women have done so. And among the five is Maryam, the daughter of Imran, Al-Imran. She who had guarded her chastity, as Allah held up to be the one who guarded her chastity. Yes, the virginity is something precious. The virginity, whether the virginity of the man or the virginity of the woman, it is something precious to God and protect it. As the Prophet said, I guarantee paradise for one who guarantees me his tongue and his private part or her private part. Then you have a guarantee of paradise, obviously if you believe in God as well. So Maryam is praised by Allah as this. A woman, when she came with her son, what did the Jews say to her? They say, oh Maryam, what is this strength you bring? We don't know your father to be one of those thing men, and we don't know your mother to be dirty. We don't know your mother to be loose. We know you to be from the best of the best. What is this strange thing? So Allah had given the baby, Jesus, the ability to speak while he was in the cradle. That's why we ask the question, if your Bible is contained the whole truth and nothing but the truth, why did Mary not get stoned to death? She was a Jewish woman following the Jewish religion. What is the clearest sign of adultery? What do you need to establish adultery? What do you need? Witnesses? Or what? Pregnancy. And he was married pregnant with a child, no husband. Get rid of Joseph, there was no Joseph. But even the Bible says she was found pregnant before she was married to Joseph, anyway. So here's a sign of adultery, so why didn't they stone her? Why? Because Mary cleared herself, said no, the Holy Ghost made me pregnant? No, the baby cleared Mary. Because if the baby can talk, then boy, how can we argue with a child? How can we argue with a baby a few days old, or a few hours old? So when Mary brought the child, Jesus, he spoke, because why? He said to them, I am a messenger of Allah unto you. I am a messenger of Allah unto you. Huh? That is the straight way. So we as Muslims, we say, any man who claims to be Muslim or woman, and they deny that Jesus is a prophet, he is a kafir going to hell, or she's a kafir going to hell. You cannot believe in Jesus, Muhammad, unless you believe in Isa, the son of Mary, being a messenger of Allah, a messenger and a prophet.
Jews and Christians believe that Allah commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Do Muslims believe this?
We have commanded that we should be good to our neighbors. That we should show kindness to our neighbors. And the Messenger of Allah typified this and explained it and showed it in his example throughout his life of showing kindness to our neighbors. Kindness to our neighbors is that we don't, and the worst sin, the worst adultery. What's the worst adultery? To have sexual relationship with your neighbor's wife. All dirt adultery is bad. But the worst adultery is to have it with your neighbor's wife. Because here, you're the closest person to your neighbor, and you betray your neighbor like that. You eat, you should eat, and make sure your neighbor's eating. Obviously, if your neighbor is evil and wicked, we Muslims nowadays, we don't care because we live in a nice neighborhood and a nice house, and so we're not going to move out. But if your neighbor are wicked and evil, then we should move out and find some good people to live beside. We should be good to our neighbor and show kindness to them, even if they're non-Muslims, even if they're Jews. Even if they're Jews. We do not hold that a Muslim who lives next door to a Jew, whether he's living in Palestine and so forth and so forth, just because he's angry with the Jew, go next door and kill the Jew. No, that's not our religion. Our religion does not allow that. There was a Jewish, in the Prophet was in Medina, there was a Jewish woman who lived quite close to him, that when he used to leave the house, she knew the route he used to take, so she leave thorns so that he would walk and prick his foot and leave filth in his way. One day he went out and didn't find none of that. So he inquired about the woman. They said the woman was sick. So he went and visited the woman and said, I haven't seen you today and I heard you were sick. And he came and he gave her some prayers and so on and so on and wished her well. The other case is of a Jewish boy who was dying. So the Prophet went to visit him and his father was sitting there. And the Prophet said to him, son, said to him, boy, say La ilallah. And the boy looked at his father. And his father looked at his son. Then the father said to the son, do as Abu Qasim has commanded you to do. And the boy said La ilallah. And then he died peacefully. Before that he was struggling.
I'll keep this short.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
Is there a question for me?
Let's hold on. Okay, hold on. Okay. What we're going to do now, right? As the speakers come in tomorrow, they're going to talk about Islam, the true religion. And I'm sure most of you are going to come for that one too. To continue your discussion, because it's going to be along the lines of what we've talked about today. I'll take two more questions, because there's now one more question, and we'll keep the rest of the questions until tomorrow. And we have to leave at 9:30. Unfortunately, I gave you the wrong time.
Okay, we'll go to 9:30, and I'll try and make the questions short.
Okay.
The answer's short.
Why does Christianity believe in more gods than Islam?
Pardon? Is that a question?
Yeah, more or less a question, yeah. They have the Christian side, they have a talk tomorrow. And basically, and it's it says, one God or three, does Christianity have more gods than Islam?
I spent a lot of time in Speaker's Corner, so I'm not talking off the top of my head. Okay? Also, I was a Christian, and I was a very active Christian in my days. Right? So again, I'm not talking off the top of my head. But the strangest thing is that the Christian said, no, we don't believe in three gods, we only believe in one God. So I said to the Christian, okay, if you believe in one God, let's play a little game here. Okay? We as Muslims, we agree with you. And I guarantee you, as soon as we agree with you, you will disagree with us. Okay? I'm going to agree with the Christians that believe in one God. So I said to the Christians, when Jesus, God the Son, was on the cross dying, God the Father and God the Holy Ghost was also dying with him there on the cross. Yes? Yes? See, there you go. You see? We agree. No. We agree that there's only one God. Right? It's a very simple game. Calm down, please. We got much time. Calm down. Look, I said to you, I'm not getting emotional at all. I said to you, we will agree that the Christians only believe in one God. Yes? And then I also said, as soon as I agree, they will disagree with me. Okay? What did I say? I said, when Jesus was on the cross, dying, God the Father and God the Holy Ghost was also on the cross, dying along with him. And she said, no. So here she's making a clear distinction between God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Father. Okay, but why? They're distinct. So they're not the same then?
No. Look, we ourselves are trinities, yeah?
Pardon?
Wait for me. We've got our bodies, we've got our spirits, we've got our souls,
yeah?
When your body dies, does your spirit die?
Yeah? Hold on. Can you please tell me, what is the word in Aramaic? Because she wants to establish that Jesus taught. Hold on. She said to me, we are Trinitarian too. We are Trinitarian. We have body, spirit, and soul. Where did she get that from? From Jesus?
Oh,
no, we're finished 9:30.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on, please. Did you get that from Jesus? Did Jesus teach that?
Oh, okay. You don't have a spirit. You're right. You're just a body. When you die, that's it.
No. You said we have a body, spirit, and soul. I'm asking you, where did you get that from, Jesus?
That is something everyone can agree on.
I can't agree with that at all.
Okay, so what do you agree with?
We have a body,
yeah.
And we have a soul,
uh-huh.
Which is the ruh, or nafs. Now...
Okay, so my soul means the mind, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Are you asking me or telling me?
Yeah.
Hold on. We are speaking on a religious ground. What we need is, where is your source of saying that we have a body, soul, and spirit? From where did you get this? From Jesus.
Okay, let's just say we've got a body and a spirit. There's still two parts, you know what I mean?
Okay, thanks.
So you can still have like more than one part, and one part can die, the other part doesn't have to die.
Okay.
Is that agreed?
It is possible that since the soul was created by God, the soul also dies. The soul also dies because كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ. Everything that has been created by Allah will be destroyed.
Even your spirit?
Everything that has been created by Allah will be destroyed.
What, so you're going to be destroyed eventually?
Everything that is created by Allah...
Your theory is heaven.
Oh, no. You see? When it comes to just thinking, your inability... What did I say? Why do you have to get so excited? I said everything that has been created by God will be destroyed. Except God. Everything that was created by God will be destroyed, and then God will bring certain things back into existence. The soul is not eternal, with no beginning and no end. The soul was created by God. The soul was created by God. The soul is not indestructible. Yes? So now, if you're going to create God with creation, the Bible also says to you, I'm the Lord your God, to which will you compare me to? How can you compare the Creator with creation? You can't, there's no comparison. Why? Because one of them is infinite, uncreated, while all the others are created and finite. Okay, so there's no comparison. Now, when she said, Jesus is God and they're one, we ask the question, one entity? No, it can't be, because why? Jesus has a will, God has a will. Jesus has a will and God has a will. And Jesus subjugated his will to the will of God. Jesus, by subjugating his will to God, is worshipping God. Because it's worship of God. When you subjugate your will to the will of God and follow what God has commanded you to do, you have become a slave of God. And Jesus in the Bible is a slave of God, doing the thing that God has commanded him to do. Not following his own will. Proving what? That God is greater and Jesus is lesser. God is being worshipped and Jesus is the worshipper. So how could God be worshipping God? How could he say that they're one and the same? No. You do believe in three gods. Because the Holy Ghost and the Jews, the Holy Ghost is who? The angel Jibreel. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Ruh Qudus is the angel Jibreel who came to Mary and gave Mary the news of having a son. But lo and behold, look again in the Bible. The Bible says, and Mary was found pregnant by who? Who made Mary pregnant according to the Bible? God the Father? No. No. The Bible says, and Mary was found pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Doesn't say God the Father. And it's blasphemy. It's blasphemy in the Christian to say, Son, Holy Ghost, Father. You can never say that. That is blasphemy. In the old days, they would kill you for that. Nowadays, they'll just kick you out of the church. And you go make your own church somewhere else. Huh? It is blasphemy to say, Son, Holy Ghost, or Father. It's blasphemy to say, Holy Ghost, Son, Father. You have to say, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
I think this guy first.
Okay. First of all, where we get our idea of two parts of the Son.
No, it's free.
No, not to God. I mean to people. At least
you said free. She said free, not two.
At least two parts.
No. But she said free.
Yeah, I know. Can I actually finish my point?
No. Because the point is finished. She said free. That's what we're talking about. Free, not two. We agree upon the two parts. We don't agree upon the three part. The three part is dead now. You've gone to three, so we finished up. Can we have another question, please?
Okay, the guy in the back
there. Come on. That's just ridiculous. Can I please just make a point?
No, because we don't disagree on the two parts.
Can I not just defend my position?
No, you've got a position to defend. Let's give somebody else a chance. Okay, DJ Fred, you go and listen to him after we finish his point.
Go on. Okay, first, just something I'd like to draw people's attention to. Give me a chance. Psalm 22 in the Bible,
uh-huh.
The Testament, which was written hundreds of years before Jesus came on earth.
Who said that? Who said it was written 100 years before Jesus? Oh, no, please. It's me and him now. Who said what you're saying?
Can you just listen to him and then you can respond? That's the way you
do. I'm not from Cambridge, young man. I'm not from Cambridge.
Alright, so
okay, if you could be quiet.
I'm asking him. He said, which was written. If he just said what he's saying, it was okay. But now he's saying, which was written 100 years before Jesus was born. I said, who said that? From where did you get that from? Huh?
Hold on.
Pardon? Don't look at him. You talking.
Carry on.
Okay.
Who said that? From where did you get that statement? Huh?
I just carry on with it. So if you
go
anywhere else.
No, I'm asking. You said, I don't remember, otherwise you're talking nonsensical to me. If you're going to say to me, this was written before, or how much years before Jesus, I'm asking you, from where did you get that? Obviously, you don't know. Obviously, you don't know where you get it, so I'll let you go on, because you've answered your question already. You don't know what you're talking about.
Go, we allow you to ask your question.
Okay, thanks. But that says about a man who was pierced for our transgressions, and about people casting lots with his clothing, about the mocking and jeering, which as a Christian, I believe, describes Jesus on the cross. And what I wanted to ask you, following from that, is firstly, just a couple of things together, and I'd just like you to answer the whole lot. So basically, do you believe Allah is completely fair and just? Secondly,
what?
The Bible says that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and that all of us sin, and I certainly believe that all of us sin. And if you agree with that, that all of us sin, then Allah is just, then how is that sin paid for, and how can you be right in Allah's sight?
A man was pierced. Why don't you say what you mean to say? God was pierced on the cross, not man. It was God.
Yes.
Okay, then say that. Why be ashamed to say it? God was hanged up on the cross, spat on, kicked, dragged through the street for your salvation. For your salvation. Hold on. Because the Christians believe, hold on, please, you've had your chance. I listen patiently to you, right? The Christians believe that the only way to salvation, repentance, was to sacrifice. So we ask the Christians, where in the Bible and for what sin was sacrifice required? For what sins was sacrifice required in the Bible? There's only one particular type of sin which a sacrifice was required for. Again, we ask the Christians again, who in the Bible practice human sacrifice? Who? We have the story of Abraham. Abraham saw in a dream that he was to sacrifice his son. I'm going to answer you. Hold on. I listen to you. Wait for me now. I allow you to go on. Abraham was commanded by God to sacrifice his son. Who was his son? A human being. Yes? So Abraham took his son and about to sacrifice his son. And God, from his mercy and his kindness and his justice, ransomed the son with an animal. The Christians now want us to believe that this same God that he talks about being just and fair and honest and all the rest of the stuff they want to talk about God, said to us, you people want salvation, and I will never give you salvation, and you can never have salvation except that a man is going to come to you, and if you do not kill this man, you will not get salvation. Imagine what God is saying. I don't want 20 bulls or 100 bulls or a million bulls. I don't care how many bulls you kill. You will never get salvation. The only way for you to get salvation is to do what? To kill an innocent man. Look how strange it is. God ransomed a human being with an animal. Now, God is doing what? Ransoming an animal with a human being. How strange and contradictory. Huh? How strange and contradictory. And they will tell you that's the love of God. What love of God is that? What justice is that? How could it be justice that God would command an innocent man to be killed? God commanded it. Not the Jews, not the rabbis, not the elders. God commanded that Jesus was to be killed. And if Jesus was not killed, there would be no salvation for anybody. Huh? Praise the justice in that. That the innocent, praise the justice in that. That the innocent must pay for the guilty. Rather, we find there is nowhere in the Bible human sacrifice was ever practiced by the righteous people. Rather, it was practiced by who? The devil worshippers that was condemned by God. Because God has said, the one who kills a life without justice, without truth, is as if he has killed all of mankind. Yes? That is how we value the human life. The one who takes that life for no cause, and the only cause is that by the book of God you take his life, or her life. The one who kills, murders, then what? And now you want to tell me that God is a murderer? Because that's what it is. When we strip away all the fancy talk, you are saying to me that I must accept that God is a murderer. What is a murderer? One who kills somebody who is innocent. And you and I agree that Jesus was an innocent man, and for no crime at all was he, and we don't believe he was killed, but we're going to not argue that point with you right now. But even if you say he was killed for no crime at all. A totally innocent man. So who was responsible for his death? No, we weren't. No, we weren't. No, we weren't. Because God had salvation in his hand. God, we asked God for salvation. God said, no, I'm not going to give you. I'm not going to give you salvation. No way. I don't care how much you fall on your knees, beg and plead. You can cry rivers of blood. I'm never going to forgive you. Your heart can be as white as salt. I'm never going to forgive you. You can kill a million bulls, the fattest calf. I will never forgive you. You can pile up all your wealth. I will never forgive you. I will never forgive you until you kill this innocent man. So God is responsible for the murder of Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. You see, we take, what did I say? We take something simple and now we want to decorate it. Why? Say what it is. The death of Jesus, if it happened, was a murder. And the one who was responsible for that was not the Jews, was not the people. It was not human beings. It was God himself. Because he had a choice, whether to forgive us or ask us to kill this man. And he sent Jesus for what? According to the Christians, he sent Jesus for what? No other purpose except to be what? Except to be killed. So the people who killed Jesus according to the Jews, according to the Christians, did a good deed. Because if Jesus was not killed, you would not be bathing his blood today. Exactly, thank you very much.
Hold on. This is a fantastic discussion, yes. Unfortunately, time has run out, but I challenge all of you.
No challenge, brother. We don't want no challenge. It's not about a challenge.
The speaker, Abu Sufyan, is here tomorrow.
Inshallah.
If Allah will be. And he'll be talking about Islam's true religion. Now he'll cut short his actual talk, and we'll go straight into the questions tomorrow. So there's other questions. I've got 10 questions here. I've got another gas mask outside for anyone who needs them.
That's what gas mask for. Is that a university joke? Oh, I see.
We have snacks and leaflets to give out to everyone. I ask you to come tomorrow because we'll answer most of your questions. But if we're going to do a one-to-one now with the speaker for 5-10 minutes, then come across. Thank you very much. The talk is at 5 o'clock, not 10 o'clock.